I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dr. Chambers. And now I'm proud to announce on behalf of Truth for Health Foundation that we have been awarding legal defense grants to many people since last fall when the program was started to defend human and civil rights secured by law, as the IRS allows for us as a public charity to do. We've had very successful outcomes with our, in particular, our military legal defense grants, with some major successes under attorneys Davis Yance, Todd Callender, David Wilson, and Dawn Ubali. Truth for Health Foundation is now proud to announce also that as of today, we are additionally funding legal defense grants for a number of cadets at our U.S. service academies for a major lawsuit being led by Mike Rose and a team of other attorneys that will be filed next week. It is particularly egregious what is happening to the cadets at our military service academies. Not only have they been threatened with expulsion from the academies if they fail to be vaccinated with the experimental use authorization products, but they are also being threatened and told that they will have to repay all of their educational expenses in addition to losing their career. This is unconscionable, and this is an outrageous abuse of our constitutional rights for everyone, but especially for our military, who take an oath to defend the very Constitution that guarantees the right to religious freedom, medical freedom, and our bodily integrity. This widespread violation of core constitutional rights in our military is extremely serious, and the cadets were particularly vulnerable since they lose their entire career and their education and are being coerced and forced to pay back money expended for their education, which they carried out and did with exemplary results. So we felt it was critically important that we step up and assist these cadets in their legal defense. And I'm proud that Truth for Health Foundation donors have made that possible. But there's another aspect to the outrageous violations of our core constitutional rights in our military. It's not just a legal technicality. Service members are actually dying or being permanently disabled with major medical complications of these experimental COVID shots. Everything from heart attacks, strokes, uncontrolled bleeding, myocarditis, pericarditis, pulmonary emboli, neurologic impairments, including paralysis, severe flare-up of autoimmune disorders, and even cancers, as well as miscarriages among pregnant service women. This list is part of an 8-page list of adverse events that Pfizer was forced to release under court order from their clinical trial data. Pfizer and the FDA had attempted to hide this for 75 years and prevent the public from knowing that they knew this damage was there. Fortunately, federal court orders forced the release of that information. And then the leak of the Department of Defense DMED database at Senator Ron Johnson's press conference earlier this year shows that the defense secretary and the entire upper command of the Department of Defense knew that the COVID shots were damaging our military, which in turn is destroying our military readiness, purging the military of critical thinkers and Christians, conservatives, and those who simply are asking questions about following an order that is unlawful for an experimental use product. It is compromising our national security, and that is why we are hosting another press conference on all of this with top military leaders, retired generals, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Peter Chambers, a physician and combat surgeon, and other military leaders, as well as attorneys and physicians, to expose what is happening. Compared with 5 years from 2016 to 2020, here are a few of the staggering increases in just 10 months, January through November of 2021, for potentially life-threatening medical events after the mandate for all military to receive the COVID shots. Keep in mind, these serious medical conditions are happening in a young, healthy population of very fit military people who are not at risk of dying of COVID and who typically don't have these health problems. DMED's own medical database is far more accurate than VAERS, the CDC database, and the DMED database shows heart attacks and myocardial infarctions in the young, healthy military group are up over 269% in 10 months. Pericarditis up 175%. Myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, up 285%. Pulmonary embolism, blood clots in the lungs, up 467%. Blood clots to the brain, cerebral infarction, Bell's palsy, multiple sclerosis, immunodeficiencies, cancers, miscarriage, all are up over 250%, and some are up more than 350%. It is a staggering amount of damage, and that doesn't include the deaths. Why would the DOD knowingly continue to force these vaccine mandates in the face of such damage? Americans deserve answers to those questions. And all of you listening, I hope, will push for those answers through your representatives. And to put the vaccine damage in perspective, in terms of excess deaths over baseline, look at the data from the CDC on the age group of 25 to 44 year olds, which Edward Dowd, former BlackRock portfolio manager, reported in an interview March 12, 2022. 25 to 44 year olds are generally a healthy population. That is primarily the age range for our US military. Using the CDC's own data, our insurance industry experts associated with Edward Dowd and others in the field analyzed the data, broke it down by age group, and created baselines to show the excess mortality by age group. Millennials aged 25 to 44 had an 84% increase in deaths in the second half of 2021, the absolute worst record in our entire history. And this is the age group of our military. Starting in the summer and fall of 2021, there were 61,000 excess millennial deaths. Put that in perspective, 58,000 Americans died in the entire Vietnam War. So this generation of millennials experienced a greater number of excess deaths in part of 1 year of 2021, 61,000, versus the entire deaths of 58,000 in the entire Vietnam War. America, that is outrageous. We cannot be silent any longer. The CDC's own data is a smoking gun. The experimental COVID vaccines are causing increased deaths in all age groups, especially the younger millennials. Edward Dowd called this a democide, death by government. Government mandates are killing people. Today, you will hear from some of America's most experienced retired military generals and other officers, as well as active duty military, about what is really happening in the military. And these leaders who are speaking today have spent their entire adult lives serving this country, defending freedom. They are risking everything to speak out. It is imperative that everyone listen, pay attention to all that we are presenting today and what our military leaders in particular are sharing with you about the impact on military readiness and national security. Our military defend all of us. We must step up to defend them. And it's my honor now to introduce one of our top retired generals who is urgently warning America about the threats to our country, our core constitutional rights, our core institutions, and our freedom and our very lives. General Thomas McInerney is a graduate of the United States Military Academy and then earned a master's in international relations from George Washington University. He was a combat fighter pilot in Vietnam, serving four tours with over 4,500 flying hours in combat and reconnaissance missions. He also flew reconnaissance during the Cuban Missile Crisis and air escort missions in the Berlin Corridor. He commanded a major air command, two numbered air forces, an air division, and a tactical fighter wing, as well as Category 3 test team, introducing two new fighter aircraft into combat in Vietnam. He ultimately retired from military service as Lieutenant General in the U.S. Air Force, Assistant Vice Chief of Staff of the Air Force, and Director of Defense Performance Review, reporting directly to the Secretary of Defense. In that capacity, he led the Pentagon's reinventing government effort, visiting more than 100 leading edge commercial companies to assimilate their ideas about business reengineering. The Defense Performance Review was part of then Vice President Gore's National Performance Review on Reinventing Government, which focused on making government perform better at less cost. What a novel idea as we look at the massive government expenditures and lack of efficiency that we see today. General McInerney, thank you for your service to our country in so many ways over so many years. And thank you for your service now as you continue in retirement to stand for your oath to the U.S. Constitution that does not expire with retirement. Thank you for joining us today with our Truth for Health Foundation press conference, urgently speaking out to the American public about the dangers facing all of us, particularly if our military is threatened.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dr. Lee. It is indeed a great honor for what you're doing in getting the word out. Now, I got into this part of what had happened in this election by accident. I won't go into it, but I found out that in the election of 2020, the adversaries to President Trump were going to use cyber warfare, which they did on the night of 3 November and the morning of 4 November. I'm going to leave it at that. They did it at the six battleground states. But what I have come to find out even more, and the reason this is important to the vaccination to COVID-19, it is all part of a grand scheme for global domination. In 2005, General Hau Tuyen, who was the equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, promulgated a new doctrine for global domination by China without using kinetic warfare. In other words, not using bombs and bullets. They're going to use, and they did this, decided this in 2005, massive biological warfare, killing millions of people, as well as massive cyber warfare. Lo and behold, in late 2019, COVID-19 struck, released deliberately from Wuhan Virology Lab number 4 in Wuhan, China. Now, it went global, but the primary focus was on the US. And they released in early 2020, we know during the Chinese New Year, all those Chinese visitors going globally, and that's how they spread it, all making it to look like a pandemic. And unfortunately, supported by CDC, Dr. Fauci, in funding the gain of function, we later found out. President Trump was not aware of that during the early 2020s. And it turned out that President Obama had approved gain of function funding just prior to his departing the administration, his administration. Now, what we have seen since is right after the election, the first thing President Biden did, and I occasionally call him O-Biden because it is an Obama-Biden administration. The first thing he did was he canceled our independence on energy, which immediately started to fuel hyperinflation. And I spent $5.36 a gallon for gasoline today. The fact is, once that inflation started spreading, it was also a signal to Russia to go into the Ukraine. And why is that? Because simultaneously, he canceled the restrictions that the U.S. had on the pipeline from Moscow to Germany. And so you have that, and then immediately, these things are coming very fast. Immediately, we've seen open borders. First year of Biden's administration, over 2 million illegals have come into the United States, which will have long-term implications for funding, housing, et cetera. And so you're starting to see what all of a sudden is now becoming a series of issues. The surrender, and it was a surrender in Afghanistan. It was not a withdrawal. It was a deliberate surrender, and people say it was just due to their incompetence. No, Dr. Lee, they deliberately have focused on this. And by doing that, we gave the Taliban $85 billion worth of equipment, plus we gave up a very important strategic base called Bagram that has an impact on anything that China does, because we're at that base with US stealth aircraft is an hour from China and would be a deterrent from actions on Taiwan. And so quickly you start seeing in kindergarten through 12th grade, college, you see critical race theory. They've come up with this Marxist ideology. And what they're trying to do is to divide the country on color. And that is deliberate. And so you're seeing it at the service academies right now, and our fellow speakers are going to talk about how important that is. The lawlessness in the major cities that are democratic cities, but we have lawlessness going on, all to create turbulence, to confuse people, to not understand what's going on. And then, of course, the most important thing was the deliberate biological attack by COVID-19, which I briefly mentioned earlier. But that was an attack on the world and specifically on the US election system. That night that I mentioned on the of cyber against the 6 battleground states, that's Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. It was brilliantly done. Look, I will not deny that, but it should not have been missed by Cyber Command, by CIA, by NSA, by the FBI. No one should have missed that, but they did. And they did because of what President Trump has called the swamp. In President Obama's 8 years, he corrupted the Department of Justice, the FBI. We saw that on the recent 6 January spectacle that the Democrats demonstrated on the Hill. That's just a spectacle. It's to divert our attention from what's going on. But getting back on point on why what they did with the deliberate biological attack on COVID, where there were prophylactics that could have been used, such as ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, which I took for 2 years in Vietnam against malaria. I can tell you that I have experience with people in Africa who take it weekly, as we did in Vietnam. Over 5 million Americans did in Vietnam. In Africa, they do to prevent malaria. Africa does not have a problem with COVID-19. Why did Fauci say that hydroxychloroquine was not a good prophylactic? Why did the CDC counter doctors from using it in ivermectin when it was a marvelous and is a marvelous prophylactic? Because they, in concert with Big Pharma, were dying to get that money on the vaccination, the vax, as we call it, and the trillions of dollars that have been spent there. So you see, all of a sudden, all this is rolled into one and it's synergized. It is supporting their efforts to diminish the US in our superpower status. What have we done to implement the pressure on Russia to back out of the Ukraine? We have done little, and President Biden has not gone over to the Ukraine. His wife did, but he didn't. And so you are seeing the influence of the superpower status of the United States that brought us out of the end of World War II, which I know so well from having grown up in Germany. My father ran the Mercedes and the BMW factories before the Marshall Plan. And I saw it when it was flat and destroyed and then went back in during the Berlin crisis as a 104 pilot and then was the vice commander in chief of US Air Forces in Europe and saw the full power of Germany at the height of the Cold War. That has all been diminished and it's all related. Everything that comes out of this administration is related. There is no question that Biden is not running the government. Someone else is running it. I believe it's Barack Hussein Obama. He's running it from his mansion in Kalorama, which is 1.2 miles from the White House, the only president not to leave Washington. George Washington went back to his home down there in Virginia. So when you see what has happened, and these are not just accidents. And I want to point out just recently, Monica Crowley was on Hannity's show and she was quoted by the anchor, or she told the anchor, "I'm going to disagree with you when you say it was incompetence." It is not incompetence. It is deliberate attack on the US to destroy us and bring us down. And that's why when we talk about military people being forced out, and as well as first responders, as well as the medical professionals, which is your business, being forced to take the vaccination, and those that resist, because it is still an experimental vaccine in violation of Nuremberg Accords, and they're trying to get rid of people, when we know right now, I just saw a film today that shows the injuries that people that have been vaccinated and the deaths that they are incurring, and is just startling and stunning. And the most people that now get COVID-19 have already had the vaccination. So this is all coupled together, Dr. Lee. And it's not just one thing which you have focused on very importantly, but it covers the whole spectrum because their objective is to have with the elites of the world a global government driven out by the World Health Organization, which drives certain conditions on restrictions of travel, et cetera, globally. And it is a direct attack on our Constitution. We cannot let it happen. And that's why what you're doing is related to all the things that are going on that are diminishing our superpower status and attacking directly our Constitution.
Thank you, General McInerney. Absolutely brilliantly stated and very true, because the vaccine mandates that are weakening our military strength, our military readiness, and getting people with experience pushed out of the military is weakening our last line of defense against all of this assault on the U.S. Constitution and U.S. strength and our core freedoms. And America, listen to the big picture that General McInerney has just stated, because if we do not stand up as a united citizenry to defend freedom on our watch, as Ronald Reagan warned, it can be lost forever. Freedom isn't free, and it does require good people to stand against evil that is destroying God's gift of life and liberty. And that is our role as a public charity serving the public good with the support of our donors. And it is the role of retired military leaders who spent a career serving those core values, whose oath does not expire on retirement, who are encouraged now speaking out. Thank you for joining us today. We will continue to speak out against the assault on all of our freedoms and our institutions. So thank you, General McInerney, for being with us today.
And thank you, Dr. Lee, for what you are doing. God bless you.
God bless you, and God bless America.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
It's my pleasure to introduce Lieutenant John Bowes, who is an Air Force Academy Distinguished Graduate, and now, as a result of the vaccine mandates, a former F-16 student pilot. He was removed from training in the Air Force in September 2021 after filing a religious accommodation for the COVID vaccine, which all of us are entitled to do under the U.S. Constitution and, of course, our military takes an oath to serve the U.S. Constitution, not political mandates. So Lieutenant Bowes was acting under UCMJ regulations as well as his constitutional rights to file his religious exemption. But he was punitively removed from training and since has become intimately familiar with the dire consequences of this vaccine mandate to our national security, to military recruiting. We are a volunteer military force, and it depends upon the military having good relationships with the American public if we're going to sustain recruiting and military readiness. And to the function of the military as a whole, when the military code of justice is undermined, when leadership is executing orders that don't comport with the UCMJ or the US Constitution, it undermines the integrity and functioning of the entire structure of the US military. So Lieutenant Bowes has agreed to speak today to these issues as a currently serving military member and graduate of the Air Force Academy, which has been one of the academies that is most egregiously abusing the cadets over the vaccine mandates. Thank you, Lieutenant Bowes, for your courage in speaking out on behalf of you and your fellow service members. And I'd also like to mention that you are a member of Truth for Health Foundation Military Advisory Council, and we've been honored to have you part of our team. Thank you for your service to our country and to our public charity.
Thank you for having me, ma'am. It's been it's an honor and a privilege and a blessing to speak about this. I'd like to start off by saying that these thoughts and opinions are, of course, my own, and they don't represent or reflect those of the Department of Defense or the United States Air Force. That's correct. I was removed from training as a student pilot in the F-16 in September of 2021 as a direct consequence of filing my religious accommodation. And I've since made it my mission to understand what the national security implications could possibly be for myself and hundreds of other pilots that may be discharged over this vaccine mandate. I'd like to start off first by saying that this group of pilots and the group of individuals in the Department of Defense that are speaking up about this mandate is not a small contingent, and it's not a contingent of rebellious individuals or those who simply want to act out for the sake of acting out or for political motivations or anything else of the sort. All of these service members are just trying to uphold their oath to the Constitution of the United States and stand up for their beliefs that define who they are as a person and their relationship with God. Currently, I am aware of more than 136,000 service members who are actively speaking up and resisting this mandate. And that number's from the DOD's own numbers as well. These are simply just published numbers that the Department of Defense provides. So this is certainly not a small group, and these individual service members, their beliefs are serious and they're supported by faith leaders. To give an example, Archbishop Broglio of the Archdiocese of the United States Military recently put out a statement stating that it would be contrary to federal law and morally reprehensible to not deny, to deny these service members their religious accommodations. So it's simply not a fringe group. And to narrow it down a little more in terms of pilots specifically, I'm aware of more than 700 pilots that are actively unvaccinated and trying to stand up for their constitutional and statutory rights within the military. The implications of 700 pilots is pretty extreme. And a report was sent to Congress detailing those exact outcomes that could potentially happen if these service members were to be discharged. A survey was conducted of about 357 pilots, to be exact, actually 357 pilots. And some data was collected in terms of how many years of service they have, how much they're worth in taxpayer dollars and training costs, and metrics like how many are instructor pilots. To give some background before I give that data, I'd like to preface that in 2015, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, General Goldfein, stated that a 1,500 pilot shortage was a crisis. And that number has since grown to 1,650. We're already in an extreme pilot shortage in the Department of Defense, and that's across all service branches. The survey was conducted with all service branches in mind, without the Coast Guard. So that's Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force pilots. And these 357 pilots are worth $4.8 $7.8 billion in your tax funds. On top of that, the average years of service of these members is 14 years. These are highly experienced aviators who have lethality and experience and the ability to teach new aviators that we're trying to replace currently to fill this shortage. 69% of those aviators are instructor pilots. Now, the implications of this might not be immediately apparent, but given the crisis in manning that we already have within the Department of Defense for pilots, just those 357 pilots alone, not to mention the 700 total and likely more, would be a humongous detriment to our national security. Not only would we be losing these aviators who are highly experienced and capable of fighting wars for us in a time when tensions with China and Russia rise, but these aviators are the exact people we need to retrain the people we'll be replacing if we lose these individuals. And so we're only making the problem worse, and we already have a decades-long issue, and we're just going to simply expound on that. On top of that, aviators are already leaving for the airlines in large numbers, and just simply because they're worn out. So what we're looking at here is a serious crisis in our ability to defend our nation. And I have to ask the question publicly, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we denying these service members their religious beliefs? Why are we fighting them when they're speaking up about what they believe to be their constitutional oath over a vaccine that still causes people to get COVID and still causes people to spread COVID? I'm not here to criticize the Department of Defense or my chain of command or any leadership. I'm just simply here to bring awareness to this issue and encourage service members, our leadership, Congress, and the American people to take a much closer look at this issue and ask questions and get the answers that they deserve. It's time to speak up. If you're a service member, it's time to talk to your chain of command. If you're an individual watching this who is civilian, please speak to your representatives, share this video, and ask the questions to other service members you might know. And if you're a member of Congress watching this, I encourage you to start asking questions through congressional inquiries as to what's going on. The Department of Defense has an official answer, and that is that they believe attrition will be nominal. I don't really believe so. And so I'd ask that and encourage all to get the information that we need and request that information, because it's your right as a taxpayer for the national security that you pay for to have answers about how you might see impacts in the future. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lieutenant Bose. That is eloquently stated. And I really want to emphasize that as Truth for Health Foundation is a public charity serving the public good, that is our charter under the IRS code as a nonprofit. We have a duty to bring these issues to the public because your lives and your freedom are at stake when our own military service members cannot have their constitutional rights honored, which is the reason they're in the military in the first place. So all of you listening, it is urgent that you follow what Lieutenant Bose has just asked you to do. We must stand against this assault on our military that defends all of us. And speaking as a physician who has treated service members for vaccine-induced serious complications, some of which have threatened pilots' ability to fly, I am very concerned not only about the fact that people can still get COVID after this shot, or the fact that it doesn't prevent the spread of COVID. I'm very concerned about the medical damage to the people who have been forced to get this experiment, because it is still an experiment. So, Lieutenant Bose, there, as we both know, there is no fully approved FDA approved vaccine product for COVID available to any US military service member anywhere in the world. And that means that these mandates are pushing for an unlawful administration under coercion of an experimental EUA product, which violates the UCMJ and the Nuremberg Code and all of the medical ethics that we've ever had in this country for my entire career in medicine. So thank you for your courage in speaking out. We are here to work with you to support these positions for the public good and for the good of our military service members. And I really appreciate your being part of our program today. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you so much.
And now it's my honor and privilege to bring back Lieutenant Colonel and physician, Dr. Peter Constantine Chambers, recently retired from the U.S. Army after 39 years of service to America in combat around the world as a Special Forces Green Beret, combat physician, and flight surgeon. Dr. Chambers is on our Military Advisory Council and Special Advisor to Truth for Health Foundation on the issues facing the U.S. military, on these vaccine mandates, on the medical freedom issues, and our concerns about the violation of the U.S. Constitution as a public charity serving the public good. Dr. Chambers is here helping us spread this message and helping be an inspiration to all of us with his many years of service in the U.S. military, and more recently, serving in the Texas National Guard, working the border to defend our country against the invasion of illegals across the southern border. So Dr. Chambers has a unique perspective on how the vaccine mandates are threatening our national security, our military readiness, and our very survival as a sovereign nation. Dr. Chambers, thank you for your service. And I'm grateful that you are so much involved to continue in this fight to preserve our constitutional republic. And I know that you, as all of our military speakers today, have taken an oath to the Constitution to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we are facing significant domestic threats as well as foreign threats. And your oath doesn't expire when you retired from the military on May 30th, Memorial Day, 2022. Thank you for being here today.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, now that I'm out of the military, I don't have to give the military disclaimer, but I'm going to give a disclaimer that's a little more important. And that's to my God. And that's to Jesus Christ. That is our creator. And that is where my first true allegiance lies, first of all. And I want to say, you know, maybe I have a career that spans 39 years in the Guard and active in reserve, and I loved every minute of it. But the uniform, the armor of God doesn't come off. It doesn't come off. And so, you know, I'm here today to speak about directly about the vaccine injuries, impact on family, military fitness and readiness, and the fact that this is a threat to our national security. And this is the most important thing here that I want to emphasize during this little talk here. So I'm going to go through a few things, and I'm going to read a little letter at the end, if that'll be okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the situation is this, that we, the few, and those of us that are in this fight, that are enlightened and on the front lines of this, have been holding the line as long as we could. And we will continue to hold the line as long as we can. But the line has been weakened. And this line, this is not a fictitious line. Just south of me, about 4 hours, there's a real line. It's where men and women with guns hold the line and an invasion that's going on our country as we speak. There were, when I was on the border, there were 20,000 illegals coming across a week on 1,245 miles of Texas border. That's just Texas alone. Now it's three times as many. Keep that in the back of your mind, that this is an invasion, because this has to set the tone for what's happening now on the other side, on the readiness side. And on the readiness side is this, is that when I was asked, after I had done a stint with the Texas National Guard to be the COVID-19 task force liaison from the Texas Military Department to Governor Abbott's task force, I began to see things that just didn't make sense. But, you know, I'm a simple country doctor. I trust my government. I trusted my government. I had taken shots from 1983 all the way up to the last one in 2020, where I trusted that they were giving me something that was safe and effective. And if a doctor can be coerced, a Dr. Green Beret can be coerced and lied to because of the trust that I had for them. Anybody is susceptible. Anybody. Before the VAERS data came out, I didn't know. They told me, you've got to take this thing, otherwise you won't be going down to the border to take care of our troops. Roger that, I'll take it, I go to the border. All right, so this is what happens when I get to the border. And the situation is this. The situation is that since 1983, I also learned that there's a shadow regulation system that exists. And that's been going on forever. I'm sure that it was in the Roman legions, and it was in the Spartans, and it was everywhere else that there were shadow regulation systems. But there was never a shadow regulation system that existed that its purpose was to take down its own army, because that's what this is doing. Okay, when I say shadow regulation, things that are gray, things that sometimes aren't in the regs. So when the regulation comes down from Lloyd Austin, DOD, and says in an operations order called Frag Ord number 5, it says, you will give this shot, it is mandated, and these are the dates you must have it done by. Those commanders are responsible in the fine print in that fragmentary order. They are responsible for their soldiers to take the approved vaccine. There is no approved vaccine. There never has been one. Comirnaty has never existed. Now they're playing a shell game by putting different labels on the outside of the quasi vaccines that are killing people, that are destroying. In the words of Teresa Long, Colonel Teresa Long, when she stood on the stand in Tampa when I was with her, when Matt Staver's awesome examination and cross-examination of DOJ and DOD, she said, it is destroying our military, it is destroying our families, and I say it's destroying humanity. So this is destroying humanity. And what destroys humanity? Wars. Wars destroy humanity. And that's what we're in. This is fifth generation warfare like you've never seen it, because you don't see fifth generation warfare. It's a warfare for the mind. Now, we've had psychological warfare in the past. We've seen that. What we're seeing is that nefarious actors have infiltrated our country in whatever position that you could think of. And they are using those positions of authority to usurp the authority of our God-given constitutional rights. And those are rights that my brothers and my sisters fought for. I left blood on foreign soils myself. I put 21 Americans in a body bag because of that, protecting that constitution. Brothers that I loved. And that's hard. I suggest that unless you want to see this country, this beautiful God-created country, go down the drains, sit and do nothing, because all it takes is for good people to do nothing. And people ask me all the time, I sure hope that everything gets better. What can I do? What can I do? It's more of a giving up. Let me tell you something. Hope is not a plan, but hope will lead you to a plan. Hope will help you find someone. Have hope that your Savior, his words are true. But guess what? I can't just hope that I'm going to walk 20 miles with a rucksack. I actually have to do it. It requires action. And that is what God has mandated us to do. So it's action. If you can pray, pray. If you can support someone, support someone. If you can support an organization that's doing the right thing, support them. If that's all you can do. If you can get out and speak to people, get a hold of your legislators. And by the doctrine of lesser magistrates, understand that a city councilman has as much power as anybody else over the people that are below him. And a mayor does over the governor, and the governor does over a president. So talk to your grassroots and get that. That's what you can do. But in the meantime, you've got to be prepared, because we've had some series on fear. And we know that these series, and we know the medicine of fear, the physiologic aspects of it. And we've talked about it. Don't let this first salvo, this first attempt to usurp our nation, don't let that put you in a spirit of fear. Come out of the corner fighting, because now you know. You won't fall into the monkeypox thing. You won't fall into the Marburg thing. You won't fall into the food shortage thing and the gas shortage thing. Don't believe any of that. Adapt and overcome, because you can, because you're Americans. And that's what we're made of. We're made of lots of different nationalities. But I'm going to tell you something, people. The only way it works is as a team, because there's no I in team, right? You heard that from coaching days, but there is no I in team. And so I could go into details of, let me just tell you about my first patient on the border, 27-year-old. about a week after he takes the shots, 27-year-old male infantryman, fit as a horse, comes in and says, my chest hurts, doc. Okay, well, we take him over to the hospital. We run EKGs. He's got myopericarditis, inflammation of the muscle and the lining of the heart. Right now, that kid has a 50% ejection fraction. Now, let me ask you this. What is his five-year survival rate for a 27-year-old with a half functioning heart? It's not very long. That was my first case. And since then, I've had, before I left, there was at least 12 that had went to the hospital. Anything from anaphylaxis, which is a reaction just to the shot itself, to strokes, one hemorrhagic stroke, a bleeding stroke. These are real things, people. I look at them. I talk to their families. This is real. This is real as it gets. And when I talk to legislators and they turn and say, well, that's just too sensitive, I can't talk about that. Well, then let me tell you something. Let's get those guys out too. Let's start putting some people in that understand that this warfare is usurping the nation and is destroying our country. And when they call out the critical thinkers, I just spoke to some great folks at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska that are still holding the line. Aviators, crew, families came out. Amazing. I was hosted by a beautiful family with 9 kids, and I'm Uncle Pete now. But you know what? Great Americans. And then we drove across the state of Iowa, and we went and spoke with a congressman or a senator, a state senator who's running for a position in an office. And I could tell he was a man of God. And he put his hand on one of their children and said, this is why we're doing this. Think about it. This is why we're doing it. They're coming after our children now. Okay. This doesn't end with just us in the military. It's humanity. And so I pray that somehow that you come to our aid with all dispatch, like they said at the Alamo. You realize that you are not just an observer in this war, you're a soldier in this war, in God's army.
Thank you, Dr. Chambers. That is so powerful. I appreciate not only your knowledge, but your faith and the passion with which you continue to serve all of us. And you wanted to share a letter in closing, so I would like to ask you to do
yes,
that.
Yes, ma'am. Won't take me long. I'm going to paraphrase some of it because it's something that I wrote to a group, and you were one of the people that received it. But this is a letter that I wrote about the 12th of May, 2004, and I wear that on my wrist right here. This was the day that I lost a good soldier friend of mine who was protecting me, and he died doing his job. And his mom said to me when I went it was a follow-up a year later because I couldn't go home right away, and she said, live your life like his life was worth it. That's what she said to me, because I said I was responsible for him. And I just want to let you know that he did what he was trying to do. On the 12th of May, 2004, at grid coordinate Mike Bravo, 4560-7890, a convoy was rolling south of the July 14 bridge out of Baghdad to go set up a clinic, to go help the people of Baghdad that were oppressed by an oppressive regime. I'm going to paraphrase this letter because it's a little bit longer. The middle vehicle had the most antennas on it. This is 3 vehicles rolling down the road to do a what would be not a combat mission, but to help someone. That middle vehicle was blown up. That was mine. I was in the what we call the TC, the troop commander seat. I survived. It was a 155 millimeter howitzer shell buried in the road. That's a big bomb buried in the road. It usually flies out of a cannon on top of tanks, but it hit our vehicle. And God did not want me to go that day so I could be here in this fight and lots of fights in between. There was lessons learned, and I'm going to paraphrase this letter. There was lessons learned from that fight. And the lesson was, if that was on the 12th of May, I had a 13th of May. And on 13th of May, I had to decide, do I want my family to get another phone call that says, your husband's been wounded, your dad's been wounded, he's in the combat surgical hospital in Baghdad, we can't tell you if he's alive or dead? Do I want them to get any more of those? Or do I want to get up tomorrow, put on my uniform again, go out and get back in the fight? You know what I did? I went out and got back in the fight, but I got really smart on IEDs, right? The IED was the initial event. That IED taught me so many lessons, because from 2004 to this day, I went through a lot more combat and I learned how to be what I call left of bang, to have a sixth sense about you, to see and to have discernment. And I pray for discernment and wisdom to see those things. And so what we've had here, and this is what this letter is saying. This letter is saying you have to accept, don't accept your death in the sense of a careless or berserker rage kind of way and just say, well, I'm going to go charge a line with my bayonet. No. Accept that God has you in his hands. And when you do that, the 13th of May is so much easier, because then you're not afraid of what these people are bringing. You're not afraid of the next pandemic or the next whatever. You're not afraid of this illicit, illegal regime in DC. You're not afraid of your commanders when they come to you like they did to me, a two-star, and yelled at me. And I had to tell them, that's an unlawful order, sir. It was. I'm going to read the very end here, because this is almost to the end. Here we go. On June 6, 1944, Colonel George Taylor, a leader in the 1st Infantry Division, found himself on Omaha Beach in a place called Normandy. He was with his men and he was pinned down. And he looked out at the defenses and he looked at the carnage and he said to the men, I see a gap. Let's go. There's only two kinds of men, soldiers on this beach, the dead and those who will die. Let's get off this beach. Right now, Americans, this is that time. This is that time. So I call on you in the name of liberty and patriotism and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. If this call is neglected, we are determined to sustain ourselves as long as possible and act like soldiers who never forget what is due to our honor and that of our country, victory or death. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. That's the end of my letter.
Amen. Amen. Extraordinarily powerful and well said. Thank you. Aren't isn't an adequate word, but I'm grateful for your service and your inspiration. Join us in our crusade of the voiceless at Truth for Health Foundation. We are silent no more. Donate to support our legal defense grant program to help our service members and others whose rights are being violated. Join our activities, join our advisory groups, join our community outreach, and attend our action-oriented seminars. We are your voice. We are here to serve you. Our leadership, physicians and scientists, are volunteers. Our public donations go to serve the public. Thank you all for being with us today. Share this widely and join in the fight to defend our core freedoms. And now I'd like to close in prayer. Lord, we ask that you comfort and strengthen those who have lost loved ones and livelihoods due to the destructive policies during this pandemic. We ask that you bless our military and their families in the trials they are now facing with persecution over the unlawful EUA mandates, as well as the perils they face in service to America in harm's way around the world. Grant them the courage to stand strong for your gifts of medical and religious freedom and the strength to continue to expose an evil agenda that is robbing people of health and even our gift of life. Grant them a sense of your abiding presence, Lord, wherever they are and whatever they face. And grant us all the courage to work together as your people, Americans, called to defend your gifts of life and liberty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.